Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. As you can see, if you're watching live, we have the full crew on. John is back with us after his adventure for his reenactment over in for the Battle of the Bighorn. John, which group did you go with? Did you go with Reno or did you go with Custer?
Custer, you can tell. You can just look at him like,
No, John's being silent because he actually cosplayed as one of the Native Americans, but he doesn't want to seem like he's taking over someone's privilege. So that's why he's got to be quiet.
No, we don't practice red face in my family.
No. You were tasteful.
I did a Hamilton. I didn't wear the actual face. I just pretended to be.
It was tastefully done.
So again, the gang's all here. Another exciting time between shows. A lot has happened. We got even more FAQs.
I know, all the FAQs.
We got FAQs to the FAQs, which I guess is a good thing compared to previous editions.
It means that they, you know, are capable of correction, right? Like, that's always my thing. When people are like, oh my god, what the fuck, another FAQ? It's like, it means that they listened. They realized, like, oh, how we're implementing this isn't good. Yeah, and here, let's change it. So that should be a good sign. I know it's annoying, and you have to actually keep up with the game. And if we had a truly digitized rule set, this wouldn't be as much of an issue, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, there was some things like the character rule.
Yeah, there's a lot of meme potential in that. Mom, can we have digitized rule set? No, we have digitized rule set at home.
Digitized rule set at home.
I gotta remember that one.
John, get on it.
Yep. I gotta make it later. I wish I had thought of that before the show. Could have had in the slides.
That would have been a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lookout sir was good just because, you know, there's armies that need it, right? Harlequin, Stark Eldar, right? Like armies that have a lot of small vehicle squadrons, right? Like they need screens for their characters. So, you know, I don't think that's inherently a bad call.
Yeah, I think there's some. And then they just confirmed that, yes, we really meant to not give Grey Knights or Thousand Sons the bonus to cast Might.
Good.
Things like that. So just a bit more clarifications. I'm sure we'll get more as time goes on.
No. We definitely did mean to make those two factions more unplayable. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry for giving you hope.
Yeah. No, Grey Knights are better now. I mean, Grey Knights are well-positioned to manage, right?
The fact that they have Terminators as troops is like a huge win for them.
Right, Terminators as troops.
Assuming they get the boost that Space Marines will get.
Even not, just having a, you know, having two wounds, 2+ save, 5++ invul, I mean.
Well, their Terminators are as obstacles.
Yeah, they did. So, and it was confirmed that Grey Knights, along with others, will be getting the bonus wound. The thing about Grey Knights that does suck, though, is for people who built double Paladin bombs. They got screwed based on how the game works now. Or, like, people who built, like, lots of strike squads to, like, smite.
Although strike squads could come back if they get two wounds,
strike squads. That's what I was about to say. That would be pretty good.
That's no joke. But then are they going to be overcome?
Yeah, that doesn't... I mean, the double Paladin bomb sucks. But, you know, that's your own fault for building a dumbass list.
I don't mind.
It was a
single Paladin bomb and Terminators. I wouldn't mind. Or even, like, double Terminator bomb. Your Paladins can just be Terminators now.
I mean,
fancy Terminators.
Yeah, Paladins, you could still take a huge ass squad of Paladins and they can still wreck house. I mean, that's what Custodes Solaris do.
Yeah, but I don't know. With Grey Knights, I still think, like, if you have access to OBSEC troops that have a 2+ save on their own, that's good, right? Like,
who also have defensive bonuses built into the army.
Yep. And can fight pretty well and can do some shooting. I mean, not great shooting, but some shooting. It's just like, you know, what is their job? Their job's to sit on an objective and not die. And having a 2+ save and invul saves up the ass and defensive powers and tie to shadows, no matter how they work, you know, FAQ that eventually, like, that's all good.
Yep. No, I definitely don't disagree.
A Thousand Sons, though, fuck them, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because that was all they had going for them at the time.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything else.
Are Scarab Occult Terminators good? No.
They're durable. The rule that they get the bonus, say, for, was it one damage guns?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, one damage. All his
dust. Yeah, all his dust is, you know, that's for one against one damage stuff, but we'll talk about this in a little bit on how that might not matter now, especially with some of the bigger weapons.
Yeah.
Because in addition, we started seeing a lot of the in the course of the new edition, GW has been repackaging a lot of the units, especially for Space Marines and Necrons. And what we were started to see was the instructions for those new boxes, and on the instructions there seemed to be new values. Yeah. And then later on, Games Workshop confirmed that what they're going to do is they're going to up the survivability, supposedly, of their units by giving some units in Space Marines in particular, giving the Baby Marines 2 wounds just like the Primaris Marines. 2 wounds, and then, but in addition, they also decided, they're also changing the way the guns work in that they're changing a lot of the stats and damage and some of the rules for some of the weapons that we all know and love. For example, the heavy bolter will apparently be damage 2 now instead of just damage 1, which it has been for like the last 20 years.
And the other thing too worth noting is that for certain weapon keywords, it's going to be spread across multiple factions. So if a heavy bolter is 2 damage, that's going to extend to Guard, Chaos Space Marines, Death Guard, Death Watch. Like that's the thing that they kind of been toting is it's not like they made it very clear. We're not just buffing Space Marines. Although
Space Marines will get it first, and God knows when everyone else will.
It's not just about Space Marines.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I think I posted somewhere where I was wondering if they're going to do an update all at once for all the weapons. And I think they said they were, but I'm not 100% sure. I hope they do. Otherwise, Space Marines will be on top for longer than they are now.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a huge slap in the face to Chaos Space Marines, where it's like, all right, wait for your codex to get your extra wound. Bye.
Right.
I thought that was what's going to happen. They're going to... They might do some of the weapon profiles, but I thought I read that they're, you know, we're going to have to wait for the Chaos Codex for all the Chaos stuff to come in.
You know, if they're smart, though, they'll just say for everything that's getting a certain wound or point buff, they would just be like, on this page, change it to X amount of wounds. On this page, change the point value to X amount.
It could be you relying on GW to be smart?
I would say that they'll probably do the weapon thing because that's a lot easier because there's not a lot, except for like Tom mentioned, it's Chaos and Imperial basically that use the same type of weapons and orcs to some extent. Then they can just put out a list of what the new values are for the weapons. For the actual units, I think they're just going to wait until the codex has come out because those are different. Chaos Space Marine is not the same thing as a Space Marine. And they can change those stats, or they can just put out another sheet, I guess. But I don't know. I'm hoping they do that, but I don't know if they will.
It could also be a question of how quickly they update things or release things too. I mean, what was it? There was one set of Codex releases that were pretty close together when 8th started.
Yeah.
Was it 8th or late 7th?
8th started with like Death Guard, Space Marines, Grey Knights, something else. Like it was bang, 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 bang for a couple of
pretty quick.
Yeah, we could see that again.
Except for Gene Sealer Cult, you guys are probably just still screwed anyway.
Probably.
Wasn't GSC one of the first ones in 8th?
No. It was one of the new ones, I thought.
It was one of the new ones, but it wasn't the first ones.
NIDS? There was something
NIDS
else that was...
NIDS were early on. Because like the first two was Death Guard and Space Marines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there was one where Grey Knights and Chaos Space Marines came out on the same weekend.
Yes.
That's right.
And then it was like Imperial Guard. Mm-hmm. And I want to say Necrons,
it was pretty rapid fire.
Mm-hmm. It was like every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. something like that. But I think Gene Sealer Cult was later on.
Yeah, I
don't know. Yeah. I mean, if they do it that way, and especially in if they do it in an epidemic where they can like quickly release a bunch of codexes before anyone really has a legitimate chance to complain, I could see that working out, I guess.
No.
No, because someone
FAQ wise that would suck because there'd be a lot of loopholes for a long time.
Yeah. No, I mean like Chaos Space Marines only having 1 wound. Like that would suck. And so people would complain about that. Unless no one really playing games and they get their codexes quickly out.
Nah, people still complain.
I'm sorry, I thought we were talking about a different hobby, my bad.
Basically nobody's playing right now and people are still complaining about everything.
I know. I actually read an article to that effect, written by you.
Yeah, I wrote an article about, hey guys, try not to cheat. And people freaked out about me telling people to try not to cheat.
Let me socially distance myself first and then say, how dare you, sir?
Anyways.
Yeah, so we're seeing... I haven't really looked at the Necron weapons, but I don't know if you looked, Tom.
The one they changed for the Deathmark wasn't too big a deal. It was basically they changed it from rapid fire to heavy, but it's an extra strength and extra AP, and I think an extra damage maybe. I can't remember about that. But even though it's heavy, they also made it so Deathmark's now hit on a 2-up native.
Oh, okay.
So even though it's heavy and they take the penalty when they come in, they're still hitting on threes.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, which means that even if they're firing at something at minus one, they're still just going to hit it on threes because they already have the minus one for moving it heavy, right?
Yeah, because they're infantry. They're not a vehicle.
And the minuses don't stack.
Well, the most it can be is minus one.
Yeah, that's why I was like, that's actually not that bad. And they still do mortals on sixes.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, for some reason, that both the Space Marine and Chaos Space Marine Codex has come out in October. One thing they did, one thing we saw was that they're
CSM's
actually
coming out in October.
Did 8th?
Oh,
no, the Space Marine's coming out in October.
You said CSM? You mean Necron?
No, Necrons and Space Marines come out in October.
I thought you were talking about 8th. Sorry.
No. But Space Marines and Necrons come out in October, and one thing that GW did was that they folded, for now anyway, Space Wolves, Dark Angels, and Blood Angels into the regular Space Marine Codex, which they haven't done since, I think, fourth edition? If I remember right. I remember third edition they did.
Third edition. Still, like, the super small, like, paper supplement.
That was third edition.
That was third.
Third edition was the thin one, and then you got an even thinner, like, 10-page supplement that gave you your special units.
Yeah.
And then for every other unit, it just said, see Codex Space Marines.
Yeah. I remember my Codex Dark Angels was super small in third edition.
Yeah. Was it the first or second edition Dark Angel Codex?
I don't remember. It was the one with the crazy whirlwinds in it that some guy made by hodgepodging a bunch of 100-killer missiles together.
Probably the first one. The second one has an
actual GW staff member taking a bunch of 100-killer missiles and putting them together to make a whirlwind for his Dark Angel army in the actual Dark Angel Codex.
They used to have instructions in the White Dwarf to kit bash one using the cavalry bases.
Yeah.
Because the bottom of the cavalry base had little circles, and those were the missile tubes.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, that was also back in the day when GW employees could order things via bits.
Yeah.
You could just order bits. So you could be like, I have 100 killer missiles right now.
Oh, dude, I didn't know that was a thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, you used to be used to the bit shop, man.
Yep. Just the employees, though.
Well, they used to have the bits wagon.
That wasn't that GW, though.
Yeah, it was for games days.
Oh, yeah. For games day, right. I was thinking the website, Battle Wagon Bits. No.
Yeah, well, they had that, plus they had the one that would go to games, you could get at games days, way back when.
Cool.
Just when I think, like, I've heard all of history, I'm like, nope, there's still so much I don't know.
You're young. You're basically like a kid.
A kid with two kids.
Yes. Hey,
man, that was your choice and fault.
He's having baby.
I'm not complaining. I'm just stating facts.
Okay.
Moving on.
So, but with the addition of wounds, we expect additional point levels going up. That goes for basically every codex. I guess points are going to go higher. So I know. Go ahead.
I was going to say they did confirm TAC Marines are going up to 18 points per model.
Boo.
What are they now? 15.
Let's put it this way: a squad of 5 TAC Marines with bolters will cost you 75 points. According to the new math they posted, it'll cost you 90 points to take 5 TAC Marines, which is 5 points shorter than Intercessors.
Which is the 5th edition cost of Tactical Marines.
Yeah, because 15 points is what they are now.
Mm-hmm. They were 18 points before.
So then would you go? Well, see, for me, I think I talked to Tom. I remember talking to somebody about it where now you have the choice with both types of units being two wounds. The Primaris give you less flexibility than the Baby Marines. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's where you really have to, because they're cheaper base, but once you add the weapons, then the cost might be about the same.
The Intercessors have an additional attack, don't they?
They have an additional attack, and they have, I think, a better leadership.
All I know is when I charge Interceptors, I have like 100 attacks against me, even though I charge.
Being bigger makes you more leadership-y, so they have better leadership.
They're like orcs.
Yeah. Green is good. Bigger is best.
I don't know. So
we'll see what the points cost. And with the other ones, I'm wondering if you're going to get smaller supplement books like in 3rd edition. Maybe not as small as 3rd edition. With something as simple as just like, here's your special units, anything else, here's what you can get, look in the Space Marine Codex.
Right. Yeah, I wonder.
But then they can't charge as much.
So. Charge as much money?
Yes.
I wouldn't say that at all.
But apparently the same is going for every other faction, so when Chaos gets there.
Winged Carnifexes.
That's not a thing.
We'll see. I mean, maybe that's a thing.
Well, there was that. Was it during the 9th, like, preview show? They made, like, a reference, like, they're saying about line of sight and obscuring, like, or his wings. So it actually, I guess, could be a thing. I don't know. We'll see.
And suddenly 1,000 Nid players cried out in horror as they realized how much converting they had to do.
I'm sure it means there's a new kit coming where... Because they haven't updated the Carnifex kit in so long. They're just going to throw in, like, a wing sprue.
Yeah.
Throw in a wing sprue and still charge you, like, $80 for two.
Yeah.
For sure. And Tom, that's untrue, that statement you just made, because there's not 1,000 Nid players.
Oh.
There's more than that.
I'll say hundreds.
I know the views on my articles would suggest there's quite a few.
Humble
are they
flex
actually
in there?
Playing, or are they the guys with them on the shelves?
Humble flex.
Right now, I'm the guy with them on the shelves because I can't get a fucking game, so who am I to judge?
That's true. That's fair. We're all in that boat.
Is there anything you would hope some weapons get upgraded?
Yeah, I would love for Death Spitters and Death Spitters to actually be something meaningfully different than Devourers, right? Like the big heavy ones, because right now they're kind of like weak auto cannons, and if you just bump them up to auto cannon strength 7, AP negative 1, damage 2, it might actually be worth taking for the less shots. Mathematically, Devourers are just better, or, you know, the cannon version of Devourers are better than Death Spitters against almost everything.
So you're saying you want your Death Spitters to actually spit death?
Oh, God.
Yes.
I want Hellblasters to be blast weapons.
Come,
that would make sense.
It's in the name.
They blast hell.
It's literally called Hell Blasters. Why would they not be blast weapons?
God, this just sounds like every bad customer service, like, interaction. Like, the product says Hell Blaster. Blast is in the name. Why doesn't it blast? Why isn't it blast?
There's a meme idea for you, John. Blast
me,
is blast.
Is Storm Wolf. Where's my Storm and my Wolves?
Oh, shit.
There's no blood on my claws.
Tom, is there any weapons you hope to be upgraded?
If I say anything for Space Marines, I'll get probably killed in my sleep.
It doesn't matter. What's the name say? It's Hellblaster, so.
Yeah, I know, that's true. No, honestly, I can't think of anything. The only thing maybe would be, like, in the Tau Codex, and it wouldn't be... I don't know. Would it be guns? I would make it so the fusion gun had more than a single shot of suck.
Well, if they're upping the melted gun.
Yeah, true. And if Tau Meltas are supposed to be just by default better than Imperial Meltas, so that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head.
No.
That's paddling. That's a heresy right there.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot to choose.
Storm Surges to get rules for having arms, but not have any model for with arms.
No, Storm Surges should get. Oh God, I have Storm Surges.
They have arms. They're just missiles.
Who needs arms when you got missiles?
Yeah.
They should get rules for close combat with a fist, but not have any fists or models with them. And then they should not release a kit with arms until the end of 9th edition.
God.
This is my wish for town. Make it so.
No, the Storm Surge needs two attacks, one for each beefy leg, and they need to be like strength 12, like AP negative 4, damage 2d6.
Yeah, and it's just like
skill 5 plus.
Yeah, it's like that cinematic, like, did I hit you? Oh, you're dumb enough to get hit? Okay, you deserve to super die.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying, Storm Surge doesn't skip leg day, unlike all other Imperial Dreadnoughts.
No. Oh, yeah,
even
true.
Even like the Forge World Knights sort of look like they skip leg day, some of them, if you pose them wrong.
Yeah.
Not that Storm Surge, man.
Nope.
Dude, what is it? The Porphyrion looks like he stayed too long for dinner.
The Porphyrion does look like that, yes. Porphyrion looks like he's been staying for dinner for a couple years.
You didn't want me to love, baby.
You're gonna finish that.
It's like that Family Guy episode with John Goodman at Thanksgiving.
Oh, oh yeah, my god.
Where he's eating everything, the family's sitting there withering away and starving. That's the Porphyrion. With the other knights of the household.
Remember when the Porphyrion was good?
I do. I had one. And then as soon as I was there, I heard a rumor that they were changing the rules for it. I was like, hey, anybody want a Porphyrion on eBay?
John, you do have an amazing capacity to just yeet models. Like, I'll give you that.
Hey, man, I hear that rumor will go, and I'm like, oh, hey, this guy is really good right now. Anybody want one?
I could just be like, you're holding this new model you painted, you're proud of it, and you're like, hey, check this thing out, it's got great rules. And I'll be like, you know, I heard, and you'll just be like, throw.
Straight to the eBay bin.
I'll hope for anything for Chaos at this point.
Yeah, right.
Just about anything.
Chain Axes, damage 3.
Fulgrim.
Chain Axes, Fulgrim. Another Primarch. I'll take another Primarch.
Angron.
I don't care. Either one.
Never again. They're never going to do it ever again. We're going to be stuck with Morty, Magnus, and Gilliman for our lives.
Nope, I'm calling it. It's going to be Christmas 2020, and we're going to get Fulgrim and or Angron, Christmas 2020.
Yeah, they did mention something for Christmas 2020. There is the reveal. There is the reveal this Saturday.
Slaanesh, God-aligned Primarch for Christmas time.
Perfect. Christmas is a pagan holiday, so why not?
I mean, I could accept corn.
Yes.
Given the history of the Crusades.
Also, the right color for Christmas.
But that's Slaanesh. Seems weird.
Slaanesh, Catholic Church. Plenty of those popes were weird.
Yeah, talk about any of the Borgia popes.
Yeah, you don't come up with restrictive laws about sex by accident.
Nope.
And inexperience.
But TFG Radio, 40K's only Catholic podcast. We know when we say this.
Yep.
It's true, actually. It's funny that that happened. I still think that's hilarious.
So there's that, the thing, the preview is this Saturday. We're recording on a Thursday. They've mentioned a bunch of game systems where they'll have announcements. It's basically just about all of them. So
mostly stuff most people don't care about.
Well, not for this show, no.
I heard a rumor about Blood Bowl.
Snotlings.
I'm ready for my Snotlings.
But are they releasing the Snotling thing for this edition of Blood Bowl, but there's a new edition coming out?
There's a new edition coming out, yeah. So,
hey, have this team for a game that we're not supporting anymore.
Well, it's not like the team changes.
Right, but like you're supposed to get excited about playing this brand new team for a game that's like on the way out?
What are you talking about? It's just a new edition. It's not on the way out. They're not canceling it.
Yeah, not to mention which is like, I feel like Blood Bowl is one of those games where it's like, they're going to have gimmick armies, like, and you're just going to be like, you're either in it or you're not.
I don't know, man. I saw a lot of angry Blood Bowl players in a group today.
That's because of some of the changes that are being made.
Right. They're not excited about the new edition, and they're getting an army for the edition they liked. But I don't feel like it was that popular anymore. Like, I feel like it was, of course, right?
Well, in our store, in our old store, it was more personality issues than popularity.
Blood Bowl has survived by this revelation.
And you know what? And to be honest, it wasn't the store owner.
Well, yeah, because he's
also not shocked.
Dead.
Well, no, at the time. Wow. At the time.
I mean, he's dead. What do you want? Just making sure the viewers know. Talking about a dead dude.
Before that, when he was still with us, it wasn't his doing that that thing started to kind of slow down.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I'm still not shocked by some of the players that I know in that league.
Yes.
Because I was asked several times to play in that league by people, and I was like, no. Okay, thanks.
The Stunty League is fun. Because that's all goblins. That's all goblins, snotlings, and halflings.
That's hilarious. Will say, though, if any population of GW gamers knows how to just stay alive and keep something going despite cancellations or edition changes, is Blood Bowl. Because if they want to play this current edition and say, fuck the newest one, they will figure a way out to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they'll make the switch.
Alan wants to know why the local competitive meta is all Chaos and Eldar. And I'm going to say it's because that's all you'll play, Alan.
That's what he plays, too. I don't know why. I mean, we had a lot of Space Marines towards the end of 8th mm-hmm. with the Iron Hands.
Well, yeah. People want to win.
I feel like there's a pretty healthy mix, but it is more Chaos and Eldar than the regular overall U.S. meta.
Than what you might see everywhere else.
Local metas are local. What is it? Our players like Chaos local models and Eldar models.
Yeah, I'm, you know, maybe there's a budding PhD out there who wants to study sociology and psychology, but that would be an interesting thing to study is what, if any, correlation there is between faction preference and personality traits.
Carlos can't be Chaos. I painted an entire Custodes army for him.
And you're painting a Harlequin army.
Harlequin's army.
Okay, so 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
He says, Dom's just Eldar, Chaos, Carlos equals Chaos, Jeff equals Chaos. I mean, you're naming all the people on our team who are supposedly the best, but they're playing the shittiest armies, so I don't know.
Bazinga.
Maybe they want a handicap.
Sure. Give yourself a handicap. That works out really well for people.
And I have no idea what they're gonna talk about on Saturday, so I'm assuming it's gonna be about squats.
I think it'll probably be more Necron stuff of like, or this like, and the new Space Marine drop pod and yada, yada, yada.
Well, they also, with the, what is it, I think the last reveals, they teased a whole bunch of models. And like, you could see snippets of them, and the only one they revealed was the sister model.
Right.
The one whose foot is on fire?
Yeah. The Palatine.
Holy shit, my foot's on fire.
That was such a great one. He's on his game, that guy.
Yeah. He's the best. What is it? It's the Lord Inquisitor page or whatever?
Tabletop Inquirer.
Tabletop Inquisitor, yeah.
Top Inquirer, yeah.
It's Inquirer, like Tabletop Inquirer, yeah. God, he's the best.
Sure is Biden. Danny just shakes head and we're all going to die.
Yes. I mean, it's true.
I'd have to be able to see you fuckers at some point.
You know what the problem is? Danny jokes, but he's not going to forget. So even if he can't see us for like 4 months more, he's going to remember this.
Look, my saintly grandmother, God rest her soul, taught me only a few things in life, but they are all important. How to properly drink a beer, how to talk to a woman, and how to hold a fucking grudge to the day you die.
You're not Italian.
No, but man, she could recite my grandfather had been dead for years and she could still just recite a litany of like, oh, and then he did this and he did this.
Was your grandmother the inspiration for Thorin Grudgebringer?
She might have been. I'm just saying, like, she would have, if she had been in any way interested by any of that shit, she would have looked at the dwarves in fantasy and been like, these are my people. I understand this.
This is literally called the Grudge
Tower.
How could you not?
Everyone thinks, everyone is loving Noise Marines. That's what Alan was saying.
I can see it. They put out a shit ton of Flying Fire. There's a lot of tricks with them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I can see it. I don't know if that overcomes Salamanders.
That'd be Shamar Space Marines, the best Space Marines ever.
Right now, John, right now, this is the moment you get to say that.
You better enjoy it while you can.
And it's ironic because I painted over all those guys who were going to be salamanders and started painting the black scheme because I was so pissed off that last edition salamander.
See, your lack of faith fucks you yet again.
You know what? It doesn't because I'll just play my black marines as salamanders.
Fair enough.
He's actually going to make it fluff-wise. They're so into fire that their armor paint has just been so peeled off.
Yeah, they're just black armor because they're so blackened with fire.
Yeah, and then they're going to be a subchapter called The Black and totally not related to his favorite whiskey.
I mean, if you have a fair chance of opening up this stream at any point and hearing me be salty, I don't understand what your problem is.
I never look at the Twitter. The name is Salty John. I mean, you're getting what you pay for. I don't know why anyone complain about that. It's like, hey, I ordered this fucking bitter beer, and it's fucking bitter.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is that, man?
We are all about truth and advertising on this podcast, aren't?
It's true.
We're not trying to sell you stuff. We're not trying to, like, go to events and use loaded dice. We're not doing anything like that.
Not trying to argue a 7th edition ruling. A 7th edition rule should be taken raw in 9th edition.
Yeah.
All
right, well, I'll be up early on Saturday morning to see what's going on. So
I will be anyway.
I know Danny will be up.
My kids will still be at my parents. I'm not waiting up early.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
You will be hungover as shit.
Yeah.
Probably. The plan is to go out to dinner Friday night, so yes.
I find some place where you can patio
and get slammed.
I like how at any given point in our chat, it's all of us hating the luck of the other. I just kind of realized
that's what you do.
We just rotate hating on whoever's luck is up this week.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't hate anybody.
Adam's just disdainful of everyone all the time.
That's more accurate.
The only thing I hate about Adam is finding these incredible 40K deals and then having the money to buy them.
Yes,
for now. Too. That's only for right. Ask me again in about 3 months. So like I said, I'll be up watching it. See, I'm curious to see what it is. Hopefully it's about something about the December magic. I'm actually hoping it's Renegades and Heretics, but.
Seems a little early for the December tease, but I mean.
We're almost in September.
Good God.
Oh, December. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's, I don't know. Time doesn't mean shit anymore.
I know.
Does not.
Am I judged for being, can I drink caffeine or can I drink alcohol and do either without judgment? What time is it?
care to join me in a belt of scotch? Mr. Huss, it's 9:30 in the morning. Yeah, but I haven't slept in days.
So, speaking of salamanders,
mm-hmm.
we did have one big tournament this weekend, the Flying Monkey.
Yeah, it ended with salamanders on salamanders.
In which, if anybody had been watching it, they would have noticed John and I shoutcasting for the weekend.
So I only did the first game.
Yeah, I did the second game and then all of Sunday. So I got to see all salamanders all day.
I watched the game. I watched Hot Salamander action.
So the finals were salamanders and salamanders.
I've heard that's a popular subgenre in certain states.
Step X stuck in laundry.
John, this is not our idea. Somebody just needs to take like the Pornhub video template, put a picture of that final game, and be like hot salamander on salamander action.
Oh, I can do that. That'd be easy.
Salamanders, if you
I can do that. No problem.
So it was actually salamander successors for both of them.
Well, makes sense.
Right. You want the plus three. You want the extra inches.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember if both of them or just one of them. Both of them have the marksman or artisan.
Master artisan.
And then the other one, I know Dan, who was the winner, Dan Sammons, had the...
Dave Villarreal was not successor.
He kept on getting the reroll. Hold on, I have his list right here.
But I thought Salamanders got the reroll.
Salamanders get a reroll.
They get a reroll.
But they also get something else.
Yeah, he was. I'm pretty sure
they
he was...
They ignore AP.
Oh, yeah, they ignore the AP.
I'm pretty sure he was actually Salamanders.
Actually Salamanders.
Actually Salamanders.
Yeah, so if you want to see that game, it was actually a pretty close game for about.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out at Iron Halo TV.
And I'm just gonna state it right here. my article was not about that game. People keep thinking my article was about David Villarreal and that. And then somebody else was like, was it about Grey Knights? I'm like, no, it wasn't about that event at all. It's just about, like, we started out 40K, and now there's all these questions coming up, and don't go to an event and try to play Edgelord cases. That's all it was. It was not about a specific event or person.
Just let people tell on themselves, man. Just let people tell on themselves.
That thread is people telling on themselves hard.
Wait, I don't get it. You released an article about the principle of something?
God, you're a very bad sea lion.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't trying to sea lion. I'm just trying to, like, I'm at basically the long and short of it is everyone likes to harp on examples no one can take. Like hey, let's have a general understanding of this. I'm actually supporting John here.
Right. I appreciate the...
No, if I was sea lining John, I'd be like...
Yeah. what do you mean by any thoughts on behavior at Flying Monkey, Sea Lord? Seer Lord? Seer Lord? More Skitta?
Seer Lord?
Elaborate. I don't know what you mean by that.
Need more context.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the question?
He said, any thoughts on behavior?
So...
I don't remember there being any bad behavior, really.
I don't know if he's talking about behavior...
But those two was a grudge match. Like, you expected a grudge match between two guys.
I expected it to be chippier, quite frankly.
I did, too.
Yeah.
That's what the people paid to fucking see.
It didn't pass the initial...
It's like a total waste of rich, too, from VGA, right, to not have a chippy game.
Yeah, that's true. It was a waste for him, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know if he means the actual game themselves or anything outside of the game that was happening around the game.
I don't know. Hopefully he comments and lets us know. I don't know the context he's discussing. But Dan Sam was one with Salamander's successors.
Salamander's successors. David was second with Salamanders. Mm-hmm. And then third was Death Guard.
Ooh, this track.
Fourth was White Scars. Mm-hmm. And then Harlequins rounded out the top five. Top ten was also Custodes. More Space Marines, more White Scars. One just says Imperium. And number 10, and 10th place was Grey Knights.
So one non-Imperium player in the top 10.
Yes.
Two. Definitely. Well, the Imperium's a big place. Death Guard.
Damn, that's, that's a spread right there.
And the Imperium one is Astra Militarum and Patrol of Custodes.
Any thoughts on behavior at Flying Monkey? Feedback was the Twitter.
He might be saying that there was like a caustic Twitter channel text.
Well, I know the Twitch chat got really chippy at one point. The Twitch chat itself, because somebody made a comment, right? Like, on live on air, and some people were upset about the comment being made. Some people were upset that people were upset about a comment being made. Some people wanted like some kind of punishment handed down. I don't fucking know, but I do remember like dipping into that Twitch chat for a second at one point, being like, why the fuck is everyone being an idiot right
the
now?
Oh, yeah. Have one person who consistently was being just ridiculous about like every time a player would move, basically like they're not 6 feet apart from each other.
Oh yeah,
like, lovely.
Every time. They just picked up each other's dice like over and over and over and over, and it was the same guy, and everybody was just ignoring him. I'm like, yeah.
And it's like, dude, like they had their antibodies tested, they made out like before the game, like they're totally cool. Like, just calm down.
Right. Somebody referenced this something else being gay in a slur one time. Yeah, and the chat lost its mind. But they went and talked to the player, so, like, I don't know what chat wanted. Did they want him to, like, be rode out of the city on a rail? Tar and feather, his old time? I mean, it happened. Chat was not happy about it. They went over and talked to him. That was that.
Yeah, and I think they did issue a card.
Okay, there you go. I mean...
And for Lord Marshall, the cards carry over.
Yeah.
All right. So the any cards you receive carry over to the next event.
Right. So, I mean, I didn't understand what the three or four people in the chat who were up in arms about it over and over again wanted. And why they were not sufficiently satisfied by what happened. Like, I don't... they're not going to throw him out for it. If you threw everybody out for a slip of a tongue, there would be nobody on Twitch channels.
Yeah, like, Sante 13 said if you get two yellows, then one yellow carries over to all events.
Right.
Right. So. Yeah.
Again, I think it's, you know, part of it is, yeah, he shouldn't have said that, right? No, like, that's not a stupid thing to say, right? It's a, and it is certainly, you know, not okay. No. But the TO took the action they felt was,
right,
you know, the correct thing to do. And, you know, I don't, again, if he continually did it, despite, you know, being warned, that's one thing. But, like, you know.
Or if you warned him, he became combative or, like, any right. of those things. Like, there was nothing after it that warranted any follow-up.
And I get, like, it's not, you know, depending on, I mean, this is just the thing, depending on how you view the world, and, like, you know, hearing that is offensive, and I get that. But it's also one of those things of you can't dictate to the TO how they should be behaving. And if you don't like the TO's decision, then don't go to Iron Halo or don't go to Flying Monk or whatever, right? Like, mm-hmm. no one's forcing you to play the game with these people, right?
And okay. I'm not surprised that Long War made a big thing out of it.
Like, they need to do something about, I mean, they got to get their clicks, right? Like, I guarantee you none of them really care that much. They're not saying they're like, this deeply bothers me on a personal level and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Like, I promise you they're just doing their to stir shit because, yep. well, why are they fucking relevant? Outside of Kenny's painting, like, why are they relevant?
Well, they're not anymore. Outside of that. There was yeah. one point where they were, and it's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, so they're just...
They needed to give that salamander player a red card for abusing the spirit of the game. I'm actually going to disagree with that.
Which I'm assuming they mean...
I'm assuming he means David and the yeah. salamander strat that he said lets him stay in place. Because although I disagree that that's how it should work, given the fact that there are now capitalized standing in place, whatever, and like they changed the way movement fundamentally worked,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe it was red cardable because he was literally just going by what he was saying. And the TO said that that's the way it was going to work at their event. It's like the Grey Knight player who is using Tide of Shadows and getting both bonuses. Before the event started, the TO said, this is how it will work. That's that.
It doesn't mean that's a good ruling, but it is what it is. It's their event. They get to right. say how it works.
Right. And this is why I don't understand why people thought I was talking about this in the article I wrote, because I was saying players shouldn't go to events with these rule things in mind that they're going to then bid for and actively go for at the table, knowing they're incorrect. Like, those guys all asked before the event began, is this how this is going to work? And the judges said yes. That's the end of the story.
The only thing I'd add is, or not caring if it works. Like, whether or not, like, they know they're incorrect or not caring if they're correct. Those people actually went ahead and said, I want to know if I'm correct, and that's exactly how you should do it.
Right. Yes. So... I mean, that is what it is, guys. That's the way new editions work, as the rules change. Should you go into an event looking to take advantage of something you did not check on first, build your list around it, and then try to browbeat everybody into it? No. But if you asked the question beforehand and you got the answer that you got and you played by it, well, then you're playing by the answer you got.
So this kind of answers the question I was going to ask in regards to how does one as a judge especially deal with these kind of edge cases. I mean, we have the rule addendum basically at the back of the book that gives you kind of like an edge case scenarios, and they GW tries to answer as many of them as they can, but they're not going to catch all of them. So I'm wondering, John or Danny especially, when you're approached with that, I mean, do you just approach it in a raw version, or do you try to figure out what they actually meant in terms of the RAI version, intent? Or
so there's this thing that, and I don't know when this began, because I don't remember being like this for forever. And Danny and I, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been doing the judging thing longer than I have. There's currently like this part of the community that believes rules as written literally means that you can only play with it as it's written, no matter what. And, like, it's weird in that, like, you can't also be available to be, like, is that rule as it's written supposed to be played that way? Like, it's now very strict. You're either raw or you are rules as intended, and you can't combine the two in any way, shape, or form. It's black or white, right? And I don't remember it ever being as bad as it is now with the two camps, where, like, people were like, no, you have to play it raw no matter what, period, even if, like, it breaks the game. And it's like,
I don't know. Things were pretty bad in the INAC days, right? Like,
yeah, I guess that's true.
That was constantly pretty bad, because then we didn't have GW at all, right? So now you're looking at, that's why people defaulted so hard to raw, because GW didn't say shit. They didn't FAQ shit. Mm-hmm. So it was like, use the rules you've got, right? We have no other insight of knowing. And I remember back in that day, that was generally my side. If you remember back in seventh, our earliest working on the ITC, I was usually the raw person who would argue raw, just because we didn't have any insight into intent. And that's changed now with 8th and 9th, right? Because we do.
And for a lot of 8th, I feel like things had changed. Like, we were comfortable as a community with being like, okay, yes, this is how it works as written. But we know that the overpowered interpretation is not going to be the one that they are going to want to go with, generally speaking.
Right.
And I was with you in 7th when we did the ITC FAQ.
Yeah.
I was with you on that. Like, we had to go with raw because we don't actually know the intentions of any of this stuff, because they will not FAQ stuff.
Now we do. And it's not even that. We have their commentary, which I think is really, people kind of forget that they bother to put out designer's commentary, where they're at, the designers, the actual rules writers, right, are telling us their thoughts, how they think things should work, right? And so, to me, that gives a much stronger argument to why we always need to default to rules as intended, right? Because it's just the reality. We're in the middle of an edition change. We have rules that are from 7th or 6th edition, essentially, right, in the Forge World shit. Mm-hmm. You know, we have codexes that were written at the very beginning of 8th with no concept of 9th. We've got rules that were written in 8th with a mind towards 9th, right? Like, we have all of this shit mixed up. And the one thing that we can always default to is we know how GW thinks now, right? We know that they want the least powerful interpretation, right? And that if something makes a kind of standard, quote unquote, common sense, or this is the easiest way to interpret what is going on, that is the most fair, that is likely what they want.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. This idea that you have to go against common sense because the rule's written a certain way, I can't get behind that anymore. Whereas I used to be behind it. But, like, you can't.
Well, we have no other option.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think people just, I don't know, like, the people who are really like, we have to play it raw because that's what the rules say, don't, like, it's funny because these are the people that usually in one breath will be like, GW can't write shit for rules. And then in the other breath, be like, well, we have to play the rules exactly as they're written. Right. It's like, no, if you think GW writes shitty rules, then you definitely need to be open to the fact that they fucked up here, and we need to kind of just casually suss through this, right? It's like the heavy cover change, right? Where, again, raw, it worked the exact opposite way they intended. They fixed that, right? They FAQ'd it. Because they, and again, kind of most of us got the sense of like, oh, heavy cover, like, that's good for you if you're the defender, not if you're the attacker. Right. But it works in the attacker's favor, right? Like, we got the sense, but I get it. Raw, it said one thing, but we can clearly see that raw isn't everything. And at this point, with how many, until the edition is really cleaned up, until we get a lot of the old Forge World rules out of here, until we get a lot of the old 8th edition codexes with wonky powers and get them FAQ'd or with new books, we're going to see this a lot. We're going to just see two rule sets or three rule sets kind of conflicting with each other, right?
Yeah. I think at events, I always try to make a ruling, like if it's during the actual event, I always try to do what is most fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Especially because, honestly, a lot of things that you're called over for an event is not a specific rule. It's this thing happened in our game, and now we don't know how to proceed because there's multiple things that are a problem here.
Right.
And you as the judge are then put in the position of, okay, I can't actually rewind your game because I wasn't here and nobody has that kind of memory and there's no rewind button. So I need to help you figure out, or I just need to figure out for you, what is the fairest way to proceed. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think judges are just constantly walking around, like, making rulings about actual rules. And a lot of the time, it's helping players figure out their way through a situation they got themselves into. Sometimes because, honestly, they just didn't open the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of the time, it's just, we don't know how this works, and we just want someone to help us figure that out, right? And there's no animosity. There's no, like, he's trying to fucking cheat me and do this. It's just literally, like, can I consolidate through a wall? Because now our units are separated by this wall, and who gets to swing, and how do we do this?
Yeah.
Did you turn it off and off and again?
Did you unplug the router and plug it back in?
Basically.
Did you unplug Gazgul and put him back in?
Or a frame of reference real quick. I think before GW decided to pull up stakes in the tournament scene, it was a lot more cut and dry in what they meant and what they wanted, because you had everyone put their faith, rightly or wrongly, into the red shirts, which were the Outriders and the store managers and things like that, because they would run the events. It wasn't really
I remember.
Just anybody running events. So they had the weight of being a GW representative to basically, like a judge, is give you the ruling for whatever question you had. But once GW got out of it, that's why we had to get the INAT in the first place, because GW just gave up on giving us any FAQs. And I think that's what stems from the transition from intent to raw, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of it too, if you're thinking about running an event or you're going to be running an event, especially if it's a slightly larger one where you have a staff, right? It's not just you, the kind of solo judge TO. If you've got a couple of people who are helping you out, is just have the quick conversation before things really get started and be like, and lay it out and, you know, be like, either we're going hardcore raw. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense or not. It doesn't matter, right? Like, rules as written, all that matters. Or, hey, we're going to lean towards, you know, what is the likelier, right, intent behind the rule. And you put that out there for your team so people don't fuck up. I mean, we do this before we ever, you know, before every LBO. We sit in the judges' chat and we talk about, okay, how are we going in this year? Are we sticking really hard to the raw? Are we going rules as intended? And especially as GW's become more active, we know we go towards rules as intended, because also sometimes it's like, well, we can, if we really need to, we can hit the panic button and, you know, ask.
It's true, because they're there.
Yeah, they're
we've
there.
Done that we just go up literally and, asked.
We've had to go up to the head rules writer and be like, hey, this just doesn't work mechanically. What did you want to happen?
Yeah, I remember the one year with GSC.
Yeah.
I literally walked over to the guy who wrote the GSC book and was like, these guys are saying this thing, and I'm saying no, and they're arguing, and I'm pretty sure that you and I had this conversation. He's like, yeah, we had this conversation. it was not supposed to be that way. He's like, I personally play it this way. So,
did you ever have anybody who you were like, yeah, this is what it is, and they're like, I disagree, and it's like, well, I just got it from the guy who wrote the code.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I told that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And they still fought.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember who. It's one of the usual suspects at that time, but was like, that ruling doesn't make sense. Why are you doing it that way? Like, where are you getting that from? That's not raw. And I'm like, well, raw here is kind of conflicting. And then I pointed, what's his name? Foley. I was like, do you know who that guy is? And he's like, no. I'm like, that's the head rules designer. I talked to him. This is what he sees the rules as working, is how he intended it. And he's like, but that doesn't count. I'm like, dude, I don't know who else the fuck you want me to ask.
And at that point, they're just not going to be happy with anything except for, you're right.
Yeah, I was just like.
And that's how
I could go tell him he's an idiot, but I don't know if that'll work.
Plus, I'm not going to do that.
It's like, hey, jackass who wrote this rule book, you're wrong.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure that would go over really well.
Yeah.
And the funny thing with Flying Lucky Con was they went raw with everything, including this Land Speeder Tempest thing. Like they went raw with everything, and people were upset with that. Like you literally just can't make people happy right now. And I literally just blame coronavirus.
Yeah, well, everyone's
on just angry
edge
all the time, and they want to just be angry at everything, including their favorite hobby. And it's on the internet, and so the internet. Like, there was literally a sock puppet in Comp 40K today. When was the last time you saw a sock puppet account?
Not since back a day.
And there was a I don't know, Mr. Hankin. That weird response video, which I just, like, again, man, like, quarantine is hitting some of y'all real hard. You need to pull back. You need to, like, you need to talk to somebody, right? Like, you need to reach out, because some of y'all are real struggling.
I should figure out if some of these people can come to our development day tomorrow for our self-care, because some of them need way more than I do.
Yeah, like, quarantine has not been kind to a lot of motherfuckers out there right now, and all I say is we can see that, and so you need to look in the mirror for a little bit and just have a conversation, and, you know, and again, nothing, this has been a kind of a topic du jour lately, but there's nothing wrong with going and asking for help, right?
True.
Like, reach out. Whether it's to your gaming buddies, whether it's to friends, family, whether it's to just some random therapist you looked up or whatever, but
talk,
like,
to your cat.
Yeah, like, reach out, though. Like, yep. This shit's weird. So, you know, instead of just getting worked up about something that should be add enjoyment and value to your life, maybe you should think about why you're reacting so viscerally to something that actually has very little impact on your life.
You know, I'll share this. You know. A great piece of advice, especially as an extrovert who craves, like, society and being around people.
I need validation.
I need, oh God, every
attention.
Day.
Yeah.
Well, that's more the whole middle child thing. But a great piece of advice I heard was, you know, it's okay to talk to yourself. It's a different way of processing your thoughts. It lets you hear another voice. It's kind of like a self-soothing exercise. And you're not insane if you do that. People do that. You are insane if you hear somebody answer back.
What's that, Lord?
Yeah, I used to talk to my computer all the time when I worked in the field by myself.
Oh, I yell at Animagics constantly. That's because I'm a New Yorker.
I'm just thinking, Braveheart.
Yes.
Is your father a ghost, or do you converse with the Almighty? In order for an Irishman to speak to an equal, he's forced to talk to God.
So those that are curious,
he says he can save me, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Sure, you're fucked. And I love the right. Yeah.
So for those wondering, the Landspeeder Tempest has a special rule that lets it basically turbo boost for up to like 50 inches across the table. And when it does that, the rule itself says that it's just like a flyer, except the rule says they can only be charged or be charged by units that can fly during the fight phase. Now, I double checked to make sure that it wasn't like a typo from, like the transition from analog to digital.
Yeah. No.
So when I looked in the book, it said the exact same thing.
Yep, not that one.
So that's an example of the 8th edition or even 7th edition rule.
That's 7.
Transferring over and not getting updated.
For
a new edition.
And this is, again, a prime example of the failings of, especially nowadays, at this exact moment of going raw, right, is you have a rule that was written for 7th edition, right, 2 editions ago now, and it literally does not work in the current edition. So raw, yeah, you can't ever charge the thing because you can't ever charge in the fight phase. So it should be pretty clear what their intent was. And if you go raw, that's just, I'm sorry, that's a bad answer. That's a really bad answer of just kind of accepting, okay, this rule doesn't really work in any way it's supposed to work, but I guess fuck you.
Well, I don't think they ruled it that way. I think they did rule that it could be charged.
Good, I hope so.
Even because, if it didn't just fly.
Okay.
Yes. I think that was their final, that was their final decision, I think, was that, well,
yeah,
this
bad on the other side.
All, so it doesn't matter if you can charge it.
Yeah, Valerie's saying they ruled that they can charge it without fly. I forgot. I admit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So either
it didn't impact the game because as soon as they made the ruling, David was nice and was like, or Dan was nice. One of them was nice and just gave the give back. Well, just move it someplace else because you wouldn't have moved it into the middle of my army knowing I could charge it. So just put it someplace else.
Yeah, Dan gave a take back.
Yeah, that's what it was. So.
And that's called what's good, being a good human being is.
Is it?
I mean,
yeah, just that simple act.
Not if it cost me a game like the first game.
Take backs or
it's a slippery slope because as soon as you allow the first one, you have to allow the second one.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
You have very little ground to be like, okay, I'm giving you one, right? I'm giving you one.
Well, some people do that. Some people will give them like, okay, I'll give you like 3.
In a friendly game, like if I'm like, oh, I have to, like actually in our game, Danny, I screwed up in terms of using a psychic stratagem and you said, oh, go ahead and use it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like you offered, I didn't even ask.
Right, because it's a friendly game. We're saying they're playing and learning, yeah. right? Like, yeah. again, if it's a tournament, whether it's round one or round five, unless depending how drunk I am, right? Like,
No, if it's a tournament, I'll frown, be upset, and then remember to add an extra flagellation to that night.
Right, and if it was a tournament, I wouldn't even have said anything. You, if you had been like, oh, I should have done this, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah, no, and you would have been right, too. That's the thing. I do not ask for take-backs.
Right, and this is the thing. So, like, but the John is very right that takebacks are a super slippery slope because once you give one, what grounds do you have to say, okay, no more? Because your opponent can always say, well, you already established precedent. You already said we're giving takebacks. Mm-hmm. Why do you get to stop now? Yeah. Why is this the situation where you get to impose like, nope, that's too great, that's too damaging to my position now. I won't let you take it back.
And that's actually why. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, that's one of, speaking of bidding, that's what used to be one of the tricks, it probably still is, of certain players of saying, oh, I give, you know, everyone gets one take back or gets whatever, right? And they try and catch people on something really infinitesimal and small to get them to use their take back, right? And they save their, and then, you know, when it's a really big deal, right? Like when it's like, ooh, shit, I do not, you fucked up and I need you to fuck up right there. They're like, sorry, man, you already had your take back.
Yeah, and that's why, like, of all the pieces of advice that Jeff gave me that I actually do execute well to this day, it's like, I just start games off like, by the way, I don't do takebacks, you or me. I just say that at the very beginning, like, hey, cool. Like, just.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, just say it in the beginning of the game.
It's the best way to play because it just, takebacks always, not always, that's a strong statement, but usually lead to conflict because it becomes that game of when are you going to win or lose the game on a take back, right? Where it's like, oh, he fucked up. This can win me the game. And they're like, oh shit, can I take that back? No matter what you answer, you're kind of just fucked yourself. Because if you're like, yeah, sure, great, there goes your chance to win. And if you're like, nah, man, like that's too big, that's too important, they get to rightly look at you and be like, so why the fuck do you get to decide that right now?
What? Right.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, exactly. So.
Seer Lord, I'm not gonna pronounce the rest of that, is asking, is touching terrain counted as within, basically on a, we've had this discussion before, but, is counted as within, and he, cause he thought it wasn't, as, but seen a couple of guides where they imply that it's okay.
I haven't looked at enough of the guides to answer that.
Well, he's talking about like, I guess some of the videos and things like that.
Yeah.
But in the past, we actually have a difference of opinion with Reese on this one.
And several of the other ITC LVO judges, not just
him. I think if we were to bring it up, I think it would still be a bit of an issue because me, I think John, I think Danny too, don't consider touching the wall as being on or in terrain.
Right.
Because it's the wrong preposition.
Yeah. We've done this before where I've touched my chair. And am I in my chair? No, I'm touching my chair. And then I sit in my chair, and then I'm in my chair.
So I'm going to – I usually go with the English professor on this one.
Again, I mean, I get it. It's one of those things that is just – this is one of those things that I really wish GW would just have a very clear, straight answer for of what is define on or in, right?
This wasn't covered in the new rules?
And it's absolutely ridiculous that we have to have this conversation, and it's all
not as clearly as it needs to be.
All because at one point somebody decided it was okay to rule touching as being in it.
Right.
And so now it's caused this issue. Like GW should not have to define the definition of the word on or in.
But they do.
But they do because somewhere along the way somebody was like, yeah, you're touching that wall, so you're inside it. Or you're touching that wall, so you're on it.
It was mainly in regards to vehicles.
Right.
Right.
And it caused all kinds of confusion. And this is a case of, like, cascading problems, right? Like, one problem cascaded into all these other issues, and now we're talking about the definition of the word in and on.
Really, the easiest fix would be if they just removed Inodon, just said, if you are within an inch of a terrain feature, you count as being within that terrain feature, yes. Right? Like, and abstract it completely of, yeah. Like, yes, you're not technically right there in the middle of the ruin, but we can assume that models, if this was an actual representation of battle, are not completely static at all times, right? They're dynamic and would be ducking into that cover, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Which I hate, but fine. Because at least sure. It's concise. It's clear.
Right. And it's very simple. Are you within an inch of a piece of terrain? Yes, then you count as being in that terrain piece, right?
And then it's just done. Just solved. Done.
Yeah. But again, the whole, like, on and in thing, like, I just... That's one of those things that, yeah, we disagree with other folk, and really it is what it is. The precedent set from 8th edition is touching terrain counts as being on or in.
Right.
Or
within.
Right.
Yeah, and earlier in the, and speaking about the internet, or at least the Twitch backlash, I think it was in the first game, John, where you guys were commenting about mm-hmm. one player's model not being on an objective. Mm-hmm. At the moment of scoring.
Yes.
And some people were upset because it looked like he said, oh, it's supposed to be on there.
Yeah.
And if they weren't watching the whole game, then they would have missed the 15 minutes prior.
Yeah, they would have missed the part where he sets the models down. They would have missed the part where that particular terrain piece was constantly getting bumped and moved. Yeah. And those models were constantly getting bumped and moved. And even live on the cast, every one of the shoutcasters, all of us were like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that just got moved because that terrain piece has been moved so many times.
Well, plus the...
If we thought it was actually a problem, we would have said something.
Plus, if anyone who was watching the stream at all during the weekend would notice that because they were on a stage, mm-hmm. the table was constantly moving.
Yes.
And there's one point in the video, if you watch it... the model kind of jumps by itself without anybody touching it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's because the table moved.
Yeah.
But there is an instance where he rolls dice and he knocks the model off the objective.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like I said, it depends when you started watching that particular match and that happened. All the other matches during the day were fine. I know one player in one match was playing, doing his saves incorrectly. Because the way you take saves has changed slightly.
Oh, right. Where you have to, if for a unit, the model, he has to take all the saves for everybody else shooting at him?
Yeah. Before, you can choose different people to take each save. Now, the one person has to take all the saves. I mean, it's things like that, I think, that people need to understand. Like, for a lot of players, whether they've been playing forever, or they're just starting out, or it's their first tournament, that especially with a new edition, you're going to have that editionitis. And for a lot of players, this is the first time this is happening because they probably didn't play until 8th edition.
Right.
Yep. You know, and for
there
some
of
that...
a new players in 8th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Game is so, growing.
And so for a lot of us, and for a lot of us, that we, you know, a lot we've been playing longer, you know, there's not as much crossover from the 7th edition. Because there's such a big change from 8th or 2-8.
Yeah.
But there's still that editionitis somewhat, you know, and then now with these new rules, especially with the new weapons and the new characteristics and, you know, the heavy bolter hasn't changed in like 20 years.
Right.
You know, this is the first time they've actually changed the heavy bolter in 20 years.
12 shots, blast.
Damage to
strength 6.
AP negative 3.
Hurry here first.
All the heavy boulders.
Negative 4 in the assault phase. Don't ask us why.
when you your Razorback is shooting combat. Into assault, it auto-hits.
Yeah. So you're probably going to see for the next few weeks, especially as some places can have large events and you can watch them on stream, you're probably going to see a bit more mistakes being made. But going from this tournament, it looks like Salamanders is the army to beat as opposed to Iron Hands.
Especially
with the ability to outflank. One of the games we commented on.
Yeah.
What people need to remember when they watch the game is like, why didn't this player do this? And I think it was game two, which was Space Wolves versus AdMech, where they had the new AdMech flyer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, oh, my God. If you're playing against that Ad Mech Flyer with the bombs, kill it first.
Yes.
Because those bombs do... Every unit, they pick one unit they fly over. Excuse me. They pick one unit they fly over after the movement phase. You roll a D6 for every model in that unit up to 10 if it's infantry. And for every, I think it's a 4+, they take a mortal wound. And the Space Wolf player had 20 Terminators, two units of 10. Oh. So, and this guy had two of the Flyers. So he just flew over the Terminators and just wrecked all the Terminators with the bombs.
Oh,
because he didn't realize to kill those first. But also what I think is people need to start. I think a lot of people still aren't used to outflanking.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've talked about before. I think we mentioned briefly. It's just that one of the fundamental meta shifts of 9th edition is that everyone can outflank now. It's not just White Scars. It's not just Raven Guard, right? Like, it's everyone can put something, whatever they want, into reserve and then pop it out turns 2 or 3. And so a lot of units that were not super strong or people didn't really think too much of are a lot better because you can actually guarantee they'll show up and do something without having to spend points for, or maybe they never even had a transport option that let them do it. So this is why those fucking eradicators are good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, cause they can just pop out of a flank and be like, surprise, bitch.
Shaman eradicators are better than their eradicators.
Well, yeah, cause they're Melta, so, hey. Or, you know, why flamestorm aggressors are good because, like, what is it? Why did you see aggressors in Raven Guard and or Centurions in Raven Guard and White Scars? It's because you can outflank them. Now you can do that with anybody. So
well, yeah, course, you get the free move.
Yeah, so I mean, again, of course you're going to take aggressors now. I mean, this is why Salamanders were always really powerful. They hit really hard and they had a lot of weird tricks and they were relatively durable, but they couldn't get their biggest hitters into the position. Now they can. Hence, they're good. I think most people aren't planning for that because there's also the Sisters of Battle army, right? Like, that can basically outflank or deep strike in, right, with either Repentia or Zeraphim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with Miracle Dice guaranteed the charge, and it's like, yeah, you should be ready for shit coming out of reserve and charging you or shooting the shit out of you. You need to prepare your list for that reality of what happens when I go against one of these beta strike lists.
Yeah, with the new obscure rule and the being able to put your high priced units or your key units in reserve and come in on the flanks is something I think a lot of people need to probably should start thinking about if they aren't already. And from what I saw in the tournament that we were broadcasting, I don't think a lot of people were really except the guys at the top and a few other players that I saw. I don't think a lot of people really planned on either utilizing that or defending against it.
Yeah,
and I think that's why Salamanders have kind of, cause there's also a couple tournament in RTTs in the UK that Salamanders are winning events.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, right now, Salamanders are really strong, apparently.
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of like the Gilliman gun line of like really strong in the beginning because it's relative, you know, like it works, it's consistent. Mm-hmm. As people learn how to tech against it, right, and find other combinations, it'll fall by the wayside
a bit. Yeah, a couple small nerfs too, and that'll be that.
But, you know, like, it's just one of those things of, I think this is also where you get part of the conversation around, like, oh, well, going first is so much stronger. If you have a beta strike list like that that relies on kind of the outflanking threats, you want to go second because you want to make sure no one gets the drop on you, right?
Yeah, there's like, a lot of people winning going second.
I was seeing a lot of people winning going second
on Twitch and stuff.
Yeah, I was wondering if when we were reviewing Dan and Dave's game, I think Dave's well, not the kind I like, that's for sure. I think Dave should have gone second because in both of their cases it was who could, you know, how their eradicators did and going second. I mean, sure, you're afraid you're going to lose stuff, but that's going to happen.
Yeah, one of them said their mistake was allowing the opponent to go first. I don't remember who it was, but one of them I remember saying.
No, because Dave won the roll-off, so Dave chose to go first.
Right. Okay, yes, he's saying he should have gone second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he did his well, basically Alpha Strike. He like pushed everything forward and his drop pod, everything. But the problem was he didn't have his Eradicators, which is what he really needed. Mm-hmm. So I think if he had that, and so he probably was more, a Beta Strike probably would have been more, much better for him, which is what,
I think Beta Strike lists are the better lists. Because it's harder to wipe stuff turn one. Because of the new terrain rules, because of the way people are doing their terrain, because of the board setups, the missions, the way they work, I think going second is the stronger option right now.
Yeah, I think if your list is well designed for, yeah, because I guess it's just the reality of like, oh, if I was playing that matchup, right, like the basically a mirror match, I mm-hmm. would never want to go first because I want to make sure on turn three, on the his when you know end of his movement phase, all of his models are on the table. I know exactly where they are, and I get to hit him, right? And he, whatever I've outflanked comes in, he does not. I know he's not going to outflank me with something else, right? Like, all of his pieces are on the table, and I can pick and choose where I'm going to hit and how I'm going to play the last several turns, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to factor in. I think most armies need to have some kind of plan of how do you deal with that. Do you have things like infiltrators that can screen out parts of the board where you know they can't land so you can protect some of your vital units? Do you block with bodies, force them to take shots on things that don't matter? Do you just bring your own Beta Strike element where if you can, you go second so they drop their big hit, you drop yours in after, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like we mentioned earlier, the game was actually a pretty good game, pretty close. But I think that one decision in the beginning kind of just affected everything. Because they had similar lists, it wasn't too much difference with the grab centurions, devastators, sorry, and a drop pod and eradicators, aggressors, all good stuff. Oh, good salamander, a good salamander.
Salamanders.
This is a salamander armor right there. The salamander space marines are best space marines.
Well, unfortunately, we're in California, so there's not too many chances to play a game. For those that don't know, I did get to play a game with my brother to test out some stuff. I know Danny and Tom were able to play.
John keeps ducking me.
John keeps ducking everybody mm-hmm. by going to Wyoming.
That's true.
Specifically and only Wyoming.
Yes. Well, I mean, I went to a bunch of places, not just Wyoming.
No. Just Wyoming.
Just Wyoming. Teleportation.
I did stay there longer than we intended, which was nice.
As far as my simple brain knows, you were there the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, so like Valley said, it was the first major in a long time, so mm-hmm. We did get a good dose of just about everything. Just needed the blatant cheating, I think.
Do we need it though?
Yeah, maybe for some actual stuff, not hysterics. No. But hopefully we'll have more events soon. I know we, like Danny mentioned, we are slowly building our various show armies.
So many armies. I was like, I'm not going to get a new army in 2020 because I'm just going to do Tyranids and maybe if Angron shows up, that's it. And here we are. See, the worst part was
three.
I cracked open Indomitus and my kid, my 4-year-old was like, oh, these are cool. And I'm like, yeah, Necrons, robots. Robots are awesome. And he sees the fucking bikes and I'm like, well, I'm doing White Scars now, I guess. Cause he's just like, build them now.
Yeah, I'm actually painting some of my Indominus stuff right now.
Your kid's not allowed to touch our White Scar armor, by the way.
Yes, I know. He has his own models. We have enough. He can take most of my Indominus set and fuck them up.
Seer Lord wants to know, John, how did the reenactment at Little Bighorn go? If there was any drama.
John is currently not here to answer that question, but he's coming back, and he's not going to be happy.
I'll ask him when he gets back.
Hey, John. Hey, how you doing?
John, Seer Lord, Lord wants to know if there was any drama at Little Bighorn during your reenactment there.
I didn't go to a Little Bighorn reenactment.
Sure? So now we know he went with the Reno group.
Nah, there it is.
Confirmed.
I did not have relations with that reenactment group.
You know, I think I would legit do a, like, Oregon Trail reenactment. That would be fun.
So you die? You die in the middle of it from dysentery?
God willing. Right? I'd be out there the entire time like, come on, dysentery.
See, Danny knew exactly where I was going with that.
You're gonna shoot 5 metric tons of buffalo and only be able to carry back 300 pounds. Yes.
You know what? If that was possible, I would absolutely do that. Yes. I have a buffalo gun, and I've never gotten to shoot a buffalo with it.
What was it for, like Windows 98 or whatever, played like the Oregon Trail. Like, mm-hmm. It was basically like the SNES, like pixel graphics. Yeah. And they had a shooting thing where you could shoot animals. And like, I remember just being like, this is the best part of the whole game. This is the only part I understand. And just like fucking killing these bison like crazy. Yeah. And it was like, you killed 5,000 tons worth of bison meat. You only can take back 200. And I was always so pissed. Yes. And here's my dumbass kid brain. I was like, that other meat's going to go to waste. Why did it? Why am I?
And it did.
And it did. I was like, meanwhile, not getting that the waste was in the action itself. I just, ugh. It was just
terrible. I played that game on a Mac 2 in 80 something.
Yep. I played that on my mom's Mac.
You played the original in the mid 90s, huh?
No, mine was at school, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine was both at school and home. And you know what really fucked me up was Odell Lake.
Odell Lake?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
It's where you play as fish and you like have to
upgrade. Oh, that's right. Oh my god.
I was getting fucking eaten by a pike.
Oh my god. I remember that now. Oh shit.
Chuck is the precursor to Echo. Did you guys play Echo on Genesis?
Echo the Dolphin.
Sort of, yes. I forgot about
that. And now our retro video game podcast. Odell Lake. I need to go there. It's a real lake. I was like, oh shit, I should go. And be traumatized all over again and constantly getting eaten by a fucking pike.
I'm gonna look that one up. There's an archive. The National Archives keeps an archive of all the old DOS games. So you can play the Oregon Trail on there.
Yeah.
I make my students do that once a year at least. When we do the Oregon Trail, they have to play it. So I'm gonna check, I'm gonna see if that's on there.
I bet it is.
It should be.
Got it. I'm gonna check later.
Damn.
Let me see if there's anything else. So it looks like we're still gathering together for the Necron Army. Like Danny mentioned, I was able to get a sweet, sweet deal on some Indomitus, the new Indomitus stuff and Primaris stuff. So we're going to start a White Scars Army, apparently. And so hopefully soon we'll have those painted and maybe we can start actually streaming.
We need a place to stream.
That's why I said hopefully soon. We can discuss that after the show.
Don't hurt me.
All I'm saying is some person on this call failed us. Now, I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
Because that wouldn't be fair to single that person out.
Yes.
But we have been failed.
I don't know what you're referencing, so I'm hoping it's not me.
No, they're
not. Of course, it's not you, John.
No. They only make fun of you reenactments. They're making fun of me for being like, I want to paint my own Necrons.
I wasn't going to out you. I wasn't going to out you.
I know.
Okay. Telling yourself. That's fine.
Telling yourself. Yep.
Weird how you guys getting the Necron half. Everyone wants that.
To be fair, I'm going to be painting your White Scar. So.
Oh, yeah. Tom's painting. Tom's our resident painter, apparently.
Well, resident insofar as here's a bulk of models that needs to get painted fast.
Yes.
And we're not paying you.
Yes. Like, I don't... Why are you...
I mean, and that's the thing.
I
honestly...
Disagree with any of that.
And the thing is, I don't fight it because, A, it means I know I get to use it whenever I want, but then, two...
Well, we all do.
Yeah, true. But, two, I also... I like to practice. I actually enjoy painting and building. It's therapeutic for me, so... Yeah.
So do I. I just don't get a chance to fucking do it.
I can't wait to get out of this office because I'm literally dying of heat stroke right now.
Okay, we're almost done. Right. We'll wait till John drops.
Wait, John, when was the last time you had a glass of water?
That's why I got up.
Okay, so give it another 40 minutes, Adam. Like,
I'm going to turn this fucking stream off right now.
If you have any questions in the chat, you can ask them now. We don't have any from the Patreon page, from Patreon's group. But someone did ask what happened to the VGR podcast. And nobody knows.
A lot of podcasts right now Like, yeah. Especially ones built on people who like to play competitively when there's no fucking games going, like, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, they're based in California, so there's no games. Plus, one of them, Andy, I believe, works for politicians, so this is a busy time of year. Yeah. Someone else mentioned that he doesn't play anymore, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah,
from when I was listening, he was pretty active playing, but...
Well, not since COVID, anyway.
Well, no one
has. None of us have been.
Yeah. I got a game in.
Nobody does.
But, and someone was saying, look out for Blood Angels later this year.
Yeah, Blood Angels, I think a lot of the Assault Power Armor armies are going to be interesting. Especially Blood Angels, because they're so fucking fast.
So anybody who's a Space Marine?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Dark Angels, fuck them.
That's true. I'm going to laugh if Dark Angels are the only faction that don't have a moment in the sun.
Oh, that'd be great. No,
And then, to make it worse, they'll come out with a lion. And they'll still suck.
Because it'll... Yeah, yeah. Because they won't have, like, the good rules to back them up like the Ultramarines do.
I could see Blood Angels just because of the speed, because they can get on you turn one and then still come out of reserve later with, like, the other hits.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's, like, one of the weaknesses of, like, the heavy beta strike is if something is actually really fast and really strong and can get into you on turn one, like, you could have to force your drops on turn two and not save anything for turn three and then just be out of position.
Yeah. I'm a up that ante and be like, how about two wound Death Company with a Sanguinary Priest and a Chaplain?
Yeah.
There's already people talking about that in the Blood Angel groups.
Oh, I'm sure they're just masturbating all over that idea. Just like,
yeah. If Sante 13 wants to know SoCal Open's happening, we have no idea.
That's not our call.
I hope it is.
Yeah, I think everyone hopes it does. That really depends on what the state looks like in October. I mean, it's the end of October, so hopefully.
What's really the county? It's really the county because the lifting of the different restrictions is county by county.
Yeah, so San Diego County is a lot more laissez-faire about the Rona, so much better chance. Like, you know, L.A. County, a lot harsher, so.
Well, because San Diego County is not on the list. L.A. County is on the naughty list.
Yeah.
If San Diego's not on the list, then they could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would not, I don't, it's not my place to, like, fortune tell on that, so
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not going
to
speculate at all.
I'm going to totally speculate and say I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, Noise Marines and Ninth are the new noise amongst Chaos players, Seer Lord, so.
I've seen a bunch of lists in different groups where they mention Noise Marines.
Apparently, all of the best players on our team are playing Chaos, which is the reason why Alan was complaining about everybody play Chaos. Huh? So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I guess it depends, because the new missions are so objective-based. Or heavily, you know, holding objectives as opposed to killing, like the ITC missions were. Mm-hmm. So I can see Chaos, especially transports, just in general with units inside, you know, being especially early on being really effective. So mm-hmm. I don't know, could be something.
Yeah.
Camphor 991, as the meta shapes out with 9th edition, it seems that heavy objective holding units are hyper aggressive kill lists. How do you think the new codexes will shape it? And will terrain for the majors and super majors start to standardize maps and keywords in different areas?
Well, I don't know about the codexes and how it's going to shape things, like none of us know. I don't know what the design archetype is for the edition. Like, we know what the core rules are, but we don't know what they're going for. Like, they could be going for super fast, killy games.
Yeah.
Where it's also actually low points because you don't score a lot of points because everything's dying all the time. Or they could be going for... These are small games where it's about holding stuff, so... But we don't know what... We don't know. We don't even have a codex yet.
Right. Yeah, they already mentioned that the codex is going to be... That things are going even... be going to cost even more points than before. Yeah. So it may be even smaller number of models on the table. So you may have to invest in more tougher units to survive, and why they're giving... That's why they're giving Marines and Chaos Space Marines more wounds. In regards to the terrain, I think I mentioned earlier, or could have been before the show started, that, yeah, I think it was before the show started, that some have already started to go with the standardized terrain sets. I know, the WTC, which is, for those that don't know, is the World Team Championship.
Took the place of the ETC.
It didn't take the, it's a whole nother thing, because the ETC is still having a team championship, or a team event, but it's, yeah.
They're a shrink.
Well, not this year. I don't know.
You're like a 4-year-old.
I'm just saying, you can't say they're still having it if...
Mommy, well, why does...
Nobody's having events.
...get to have events?
Right, but like, is the ETC actually going to have the event, and will it actually be an event that matters the way it used to matter?
When, okay, so for those that don't know...
You can qualify, hey, the ETC is still happening, but if it's this piece of shit 15-player event that nobody cares about...
Okay, so now I have to clarify. Now story times, which means you have to sit in the office longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just thanks, John. And leave.
a good idea. Hold on.
So, for those that don't know, the WTC broke off from the ETC, the European Team Championship. The WTC is now the World Team Championship. So,
WWF storyline.
It does. So, at the time, because this happened earlier this year, before pre-COVID. So the ETC stated that they're still going to do a team tournament this year, or they had planned to, but that it was going to be open to anybody. So anybody could make a team, and anybody could play in it. Uh-huh. And then WTC was going to do like the World Team Champion with the same rules and restrictions as what they used to have at the ETC. Uh-huh. So WTC canceled, but they're going to happen next year. ETC, I believe, canceled, and I believe they're still going to have it next year. As to what the format is going to be, we don't know yet. My assumption is they're going to have some form of team championship. It may not be a world championship, but it may still be just a normal, like, team championship. So you can get, like, we can make a team and go over there and play if we wanted to.
The ETC will exist.
Because we each have thousands of dollars. Yeah.
But the ETC is not going to be what it was, because what it was left to be the WTC.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
So, well...
The statement should be qualified, because you say, I mean, ETC is still a thing, but it's not really...
Well, the ETC is, I guess, more true to its name, because it's European Team Championship.
Right.
Because it started as European teams only, and then it gradually included teams outside of Europe. Yeah,
one
like
team
Australia.
For America, 87 teams for South America.
No, it was 87 teams for...
400 teams for England.
For the UK, yeah, for the UK, mm-hmm. And then everyone else only gets one team,
right?
They're trying to get teams from Asia and Australia, things like that. So, and you'll hear more about it later, because I do have an interview with Neil from the WTC coming up. So that's more or less, And WTC, what they did was they did a terrain packet where they listed a number of terrain tables. But they constructed them in such a way that no matter which mission you're playing, the terrain stays where they're at, and it's the objectives that just move around. So you're seeing that with WTC. We don't know. It's each individual, especially in the U.S., each individual GT will kind of do what they want. But I can see GTs going with a formatted terrain piece. Yeah. Kind of like what
good events are going to have to do that.
Yeah, kind of like what
it's gonna be a major shit show of players moving terrain. So
it'll be kind of like what LVO. It'll be kind of like what LVO did with the top 100 tables.
Yeah, and it totally worked. There was not any problems with those at all.
Yeah, people actually seemed to enjoy that.
They did. Especially when it got to the top 100 players, legitimately were playing on those tables. Those top players loved that.
Yeah, so I can see major events or super majors. Doing that, doing a standard for X number of tables, and then adjust moving the objectives around.
I think too, we'll see. Like, I'm sure with SoCal happens, definitely with LVO, that there will be a kind of standardized packet of these pieces of terrain equal these tags, and that I would imagine would probably start to be standardized, at least here in the U.S. Right, where people are like, oh, well, that's how ITC does it, so fuck it, we'll just do that because that's everyone knows.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because Seer Lords was going for New Zealand for the first time this year for WTC. So
yeah, it sucks you gotta miss it.
So I think that's it for tonight. John's about to pass out from exhaustion.
True story.
I had Easter ones. That shit sucks.
Yeah, me too. Danny, any last words?
Nothing of relevance anymore.
Tom?
So, should the chainsword be red or should I paint it black?
John, any last words?
I would say I would actually go with red just because it'll pop.
Okay.
And it looks like, and that whole like classic style is making a comeback for God knows what reason.
The 90s red.
Yeah, the 90s red is making a comeback. Yeah. So,
and being goblin based.
Chat is saying black, Tom. And chat's probably right. Black probably works better, yes.
The guns for my Alpha Marines are black, so I probably should follow suit with the chainswords.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all I have to say, Adam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John, give me an advice to Tom. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. Thank everybody who came with us on chat. Thank everybody who's going to listen when we put this out.
John actually had something to say. You skipped him.
What did you want to say, John?
I was going to say you can all applaud now because the comedy's finished.
Thank you for listening.
You don't recognize the quote? None of you know recognizes that quote?
I do. I just don't think it's apropos or funny.
Or funny.
Okay, wait. I want to know if Tom knows it, because I was expecting Tom to recognize it.
Digging.
He's checking Google.
He's probably checking Google.
Answer.
You know what? To be fair, I did amend it. I did not use the actual.
Oh.
Well, then there you go.
Hey, Danny got it. The English professor got it.
You know how literal I am.
Gosh, you know how he is into Raw.
I know, right? Raw versus Rye. Yeah. Here we go.
I references as written. Thank you.
Fine. I'll look up a better one for next time, Tom.
I, to be quite honest, I probably don't know it.
Okay.
What is it?
It's Beethoven. Beethoven's last words.
Beethoven's last words.
Supposedly his last words.
Yeah, see, I never believe any of that shit about his last words were poetic. Sure. Yeah,
it's all supposed.
See,
because I'm trying to start to use people's famous dying words for.
I was hella confused because I thought you meant the movie Beethoven with the dog and everything.
I'm not gonna lie, I did think of the movie also.
Why did I quote the stupid dog movie?
Because your fucking wife.
That was a classic. That was a classic of our childhood.
That's true.
Although, no one ever tells you about owning, like, a St. Bernard or a Great Dane or a dog of that size is that you're basically scooping up human shit every day.
Yeah.
Any big dog, really.
Yeah.
But, again, thanks everybody for listening. Those on the stream, those who listen on the podcast. Good night, everybody, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Later. Bye.